innercitygeeks.net.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Edition of Geeks podcast. It's Steve here, and this is episode 287. And joining me today, I got Brian.
Hey, yo.
What's good, man?
Are we sure we got the episode title correctly?
The episode number, yes. 287. We got it right this time.
Just making sure, because yes. 2 weeks ago, because we were off last week.
Yes.
But like, 2 weeks ago, we wanted to make sure that we had
a little snafu in the brains.
We more like you.
Okay, whatever. Sure, fine. I'll take it.
Well, you know what we can do this week? Actually, that's
what
not
can
in
we do
our...
this week?
We gave people 2 weeks to watch the Batman, so we can talk about that a little bit.
Yes, that is right. I completely forgot about that.
So yeah. So we can talk about that in a little while.
Yeah.
Before we get into anything, before I even tell you how I've been and shit, and what I've been up to, and what, you know, I just want to say RIP Scott Hall.
Word. Big time. Big RIP to Scott Hall. Or Razor Ramon, as other people live.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know Razor Ramon, like, especially if you're like a wrestling fan of now, if you don't know Razor Ramon or Scott Hall, you need to like rectify and go back and watch videos and shit.
Yep. just find his video of him, his ladder match for the IC champ with HBK, I think it was.
Yeah, WrestleMania 10.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first ever ladder match, I think.
Yep.
For Scott Hall to survive everything he's been through and to be taken out by a broken hip, which later led into his blood clot and 3 heart attacks and all that. It's sad.
It fucking sucks, dude.
Because if you look at it, he was 63. Sting just turned 63.
Mm-hmm. Or he just turned 62.
Two. Okay, so Sting, who did that insane fucking table bump.
Jumping off the rafters onto 4 tables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, basically murdering Andrade.
Yeah.
And got up and did it all again, you know, the whole wrestling part anyway,
or
walking to the ramp.
Yeah.
But then you got Scott Hall, who sadly didn't make it, and it's tragic. It's something. I mean, the majority of the stories you heard about him backstage, that he loved people.
Yeah.
He actually, I did not know this. He actually is the reason why, Sting was the Crow.
Really?
Yeah. It was backstage. He's like, "You ever see the Crow?" And he basically told Sting to like rectify it.
Interesting.
And he became the Crow, and that's how we got that version.
Interesting. I like that version, though. I like this version a lot better than the super colorful one.
And for those of you watching this on YouTube, that's my laundry back here.
Yay, laundry machines.
Not like people.
Hey, at least you got one at home. That's what matters.
Yeah. Not like people don't do laundry.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's really shitty that we lost Scott Hall this week.
Big time.
I feel really sorry for all his friends too, especially his clique, especially Kevin Nash, who had to figure out how to like survive the next day without his brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Triple H, who literally posted that he was gutted.
Yeah.
You know, like, because we know wrestlers die; it's a thing. You know, like, I was kind of not gutted per se, but I was kind of like a little sad when
it's some really sad shit because it's something that's been like in our lives since we were younger.
Yeah, but not even the one I'm talking about, not even for Scott Hall. It's like on Twitter, the WWE Network handle tweeted that it was 20 years ago that day that Crash Holly escaped I think it was like Vince's goons at Funtime USA in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And both he and Funtime are gone.
Yeah.
That's a storage place now. And then he accidentally overdosed from depression. Or I use accidentally in quotes. But that's the thing. You know, death in wrestling is a thing.
Yep.
But Scott Hall, he fought through it and, you know, and just to succumb from not even, you know, like not even pills or drinks or whatever.
Yeah, because he's been on the straight and narrow for a little while already.
Yeah, I mean, DDP helped him.
Yeah.
And so I was watching, before we started the show tonight, I actually was watching, WWE had put out like the best top 10 Hall moments or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and one of them was WrestleMania 18. Right, it was 18 where it was 2002, and it was the WrestleMania after the plane ride from hell.
Interesting, okay.
And so, for those of you that don't know about the plane ride from hell, watch Vice's Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes, find it, it's good.
Find it somewhere. I knew some of it, but there were things I did not know, like Scott Hall. Let's listen to Scott Hall. They thought Scott Hall died on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
That he did not wake up for the entire time because they went through two bar carts?
Yeah. Well, I think it was like 2.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
A ridiculous amount of liquor.
Yeah. They went through endless amounts of liquor. The first bar cart was gone because they were stuck on the tarmac for 7 hours before mm-hmm. the flight.
Yep.
But yeah, they thought Scott Hall died. And when they finally got him through customs, they had to fake it that he was like sleeping in like a wheelchair or some shit through customs. Like, he was one of the many that were getting fired that night. And therefore they had the match at WrestleMania. It was him versus Austin. And then that's why when Austin gave him the stunner, he didn't sell it at first, Hall, but then like Austin did it again and he made him like bounce like a fucking, like a sky bounce handball. That was one of the things on there. But then it also showed like great moments, like him winning the IC title each time. Definitely worth checking out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna end that with this before I get into what I was watching. But rest in power, Scott. It was an honor watching every match. Though I never gotten to see him live.
Mm-hmm.
It was an honor watching matches that were gonna live on through lifetimes because
absolutely
he put his body through hell and he kept telling the tale, and you know, it's just, I say we raise our click symbol to the sky, you know.
Oh, yeah.
On a happier note.
Yes, happy notes, happy notes. No more sad shit for now. For now, at least.
So, happy notes. Been watching some stuff. Well, definitely watch The Batman, like we mentioned.
We'll be watching that again when it comes out on HBO Max in the next few weeks.
For those of you that are itching to see it but don't want to go to the theater or have no time.
Or don't want to sit in a movie theater for 3 hours.
3 hours, yes. It is going to hit HBO Max on the 19th of April, according to like all these multiple pages mm-hmm. I've seen online.
Yeah, so technically it makes sense because at that point it will hit 45 days in the theaters, so.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do now, is that they're trying to do 45 days in theaters and then put them out on streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
With most movies now. Instead of waiting like months and months.
Basically. Aside from that, watched a movie on Netflix that I had a feeling was going to be good, especially because we all love Ryan Reynolds.
Hell yeah.
And if you're a fan of Sean Levy, who I've been a fan of his directing since Night at the Museum.
Okay.
The Adam Project.
Yes.
And The Adam Project, it's basically Ryan Reynolds plays an older version of himself who crash lands from the future, from 2050 into 2022, present day, to find his 12-year-old self unexpected. While trying to save his wife, and a whole bunch of shit goes down.
Yeah.
But it was a good cast. It had Catherine Keener as the villain. And then, of course, Ryan Reynolds. The kid, you would have thought he was been in a million other projects. This was his first film.
Really? Okay. Yeah. He was really good.
He was really good. And he's like that in interviews, too. Like, he's like mini Ryan.
Good.
Snarky
little fucker.
Right? So, yeah. the movie was starring Wade Wilson.
Yep. Well, typical
fucking Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Zoe Saldana, who's Gamora.
Yes.
Mark Ruffalo, who's Hulk.
Yep.
And then throw in a fourth Marvel character. We had, if you want to count it as a movie, we had Elektra, Jennifer Garner.
Oh yeah, well that is it is a Marvel movie. Granted, it's you know not MCU shit, but that is not the best or good.
And it for those of you who geek out over 13 going on 30, it's kind of a reunion between the two of them.
Oh yeah, that's right. I always forget about that shit.
Me too. But Adam Project was like was really really it's a fun sci-fi movie.
It was really damn good. It was done really well.
Yeah, I didn't like. I had a feeling it was gonna be good, but I didn't expect it to be how fucking good it was. I was like, holy shit, this was just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great fucking flick.
Today I watched something interesting called Gasoline Alley.
Okay.
Bruce Willis, who got top billing for being in the movie for like 10 minutes.
He got top billing because he's like one of the most fucking known people in the world.
Luke Wilson and Devon Sawa, who just is in every. Thing now.
He's in every random thing now.
Yeah. And that was interesting. I'm not even going to explain it because it's just like just
watch it. Okay.
It's a good
action. Okay, so the only thing I want to explain is it a good movie or is it a shit movie?
It's one of the better of the Bruce Willis movies.
Okay. So it's a somewhat shit movie.
Somewhat shit movie. Okay. I watched Taken 12 with Liam Neeson. The movie's called Blacklight.
Yeah.
Where basically he's a CIA operative with skills.
Okay.
That was one of the better Liam Neeson movies of recent in my opinion. I found it on Quibi.
Okay.
Cuz it came out this year.
Yeah, it came out recently.
What else have I watched? I'm currently in the rewatch of Punisher.
Okay.
Because now,
especially now that it's all on Netflix now too.
It's all on Netflix now.
Not Netflix, so on Disney Plus. The fuck?
Right.
Yeah.
Formerly on Netflix.
Yeah.
So all the shows are now on Disney Plus.
Yes.
But now you have to enter a code and get the full catalog, because. It's as in case anybody's wondering, they didn't cut anything out of the shows. It's the same violence that you would get out of what you saw originally. It's
beautiful, beautiful it's violence. Amazing.
Like, I like rewatching Punisher, the first episode at the end where like he obliterates the thugs at the in the construction site.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I missed that.
Or when he just fucking he's trying to get the girls that are about to get fucking trans trafficked and shit in the middle of the episode in the first scene or whatever, one of the first scenes
when he basically sniped the dude from the border, like he didn't leave the U.S. he was still in the U.S. and used the 50 cal and sniped the dude in Mexico.
Yep.
Fucking great. And that they're just the reaction of like you hear the gunshot and then you see the guy standing there and next thing you know, bah, he's just dead. I'm like, oh shit! And then they do that pan or the zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I forgot about that.
So good.
So everything is the same. They did not change a single thing, and that makes me really happy. What else have I watched? Oh, yeah, I watched something on your recommendation. I finally got to see Sing 2.
Yeah! That such was a fun fucking movie, dude.
I enjoyed the first one. Like, we actually rewatched the first one the night before we watched part two.
And the thing is that there's no need to watch the first one before you watch the second one.
No, because it's a different film. I mean, yes. It's The first one is basically...
It has the same characters.
Same characters. It's basically an origin story if you want to watch the first movie.
Right.
So you can watch two as the main film and just watch one sort of like a prequel.
Yeah.
Essentially. But like... An amazing voice cast once again.
Yep.
And like... There's just so many touching moments in that film.
So many fucking moments, dude.
Megan and I just wondered why the hell Bono put on an American accent.
Yeah, yeah. And
that was, you know. Did not realize Scarlett Johansson can sing that good.
Well, yeah, she did have a little bit of a singing career that didn't really go anywhere.
See, I don't remember that.
Yeah. I think she was trying to put out an album a few years ago. This is before the Black Widow and all that shit movies.
Got it. But no, Sing 2 was spectacular. Great, yeah. Great cast. A lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that 5 years since the first movie, how different the animation was.
Yeah. It really is. It's very different. Yeah.
You know, like, we saw the first one in theaters, and...
it looked good for the time.
For the time. 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go now, and you're like, oh, there's this, and it's just so different.
It's so much more crisp.
And like, yeah, an amazing voice cast. I'm tired today.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. So like, Taron Egerton, once again, just blew my mind how amazing he is. Yeah, like, such a fun family film, you know. Yep. And my kids were into it, sort of. Before they
started. Well, yeah. I wouldn't expect kids to actually sit there for that much longer than, you know.
Yeah, especially they're the fun first few moments.
Yeah.
Let's see. Did I watch anything else? I'm trying to think.
Before you get into that, I must say about Sing 2. This is the first and only time I actually gave a fuck about a U2 song.
Yes.
Because I can give a fuck less about U2. And when they were singing still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For at the end of the movie, I was like, I went full on bitch mode. Like, I started crying like a little motherfucker, because the way that they portrayed the dude that was playing that part, that whole scene or whatever, it gave me the feels, man. Because it's just like, oh man, so much shit in it. It was really good. Really good fucking flick.
Well, like, was that song off the Joshua Tree album?
I don't know.
If that is, like, well, I mean, I like U2 to a point. I've never really, like, been into them. But like,
I never even listened to one of their albums. Like, I've heard their song on the radio, and I was like, yeah, I'd rather not. And I understand why people like them. But personally, it's like, I could listen to way much more better music than that. to me. So I get it, you know, it is all subjective, but.
I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've watched anything else important enough.
Okay, that's fair.
As for musics, I'm basically, as I told you the other day when I was, like, traveling, I'm hooked on that Zealand Ardor album, the new one.
Dude, it's really good, dude.
I played it on repeat because it's just fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
You know, and it's just such a... It's hard to explain. Like, you can't be like, oh, it's this type of genre, because it is, but then it's blended with other types of music.
That's what a lot of bands are doing now, which is fucking insanely good, because... They're trying to reach all these different type of, you know, these different type of niche groups that listen to things. Yeah. And when you have a band like Zealand Ardor, you're like, what's going to be next for them? What you're listening to one song, it's like it's real heavy, and then you go to the next one, it's a lot slower. The next one after that, it's a bit more melodic. It's just a little bit of everything for everybody.
Yeah, like,
which is what I love.
It was like the third or fourth track, kind of, whatever the instrumental one is. It's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost like EDM, but then it's like metal at the same time. You're like, wait, mm-hmm. what am I listening to?
Yep.
It's like the best Attitude Era wrestling themes without like vocals.
Absolutely, yeah.
But aside from that, I mean, I really got nothing. I've been heavy duty back into DDPY.
Oh yeah.
I'm on my what was today? Today was
you said 13.
13. It should have been 15, but my fucking Blu-ray player broke on Monday.
That's fair.
And I had to rip it apart to get the disc out. And then of course I couldn't find it on Kodi because like the app was because I had to up. I think it's because I had to upgrade Kodi.
Possibly.
But like I couldn't get it to do it on both either Monday or Tuesday. So I'm like, come on, because I'm on that groove of doing it 5 days on, 2 days off. Like
that's fair.
My work week is yoga, and my weekend off is my weekend off.
That's fair. Yeah.
I'm definitely down an inch though.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome.
I'm less keg.
That's awesome, dude. It's really damn good. I'm happy for you, dude.
Thank you. And it's so weird to be able to fold forward and be able to grab my toes.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Never thought I could. I've never done that before. It's so weird.
It's good. It's good, man. I'm happy for you. Like I said, it's fucking great. It's good that you're getting back into shape.
Yeah.
And in my shape, I mean, like, not circular.
I was going to say, just not round.
Yeah. Not a sphere.
Yeah. So, aside from that, I got nothing else. How about you?
I've watched a lot of shit this last couple of weeks or whatever. Of course, you know, I had the children's last week. That was super cool. We went over to one of the parks over here.
You watch a lot of shit because you, like, haven't... You basically are always on vacation lately.
Well, yeah, this was also like, yeah, it was my last vacation for the fiscal year of my works. Because the fiscal year ends at the end of March. And a whole new one starts in April. And I needed to take all my vacation time because if I don't take it, I lose it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to take it because I want my money.
Right.
Yeah. And I took 2 weeks previously. Oh, well, 1 week previously. And then, this past week. And it was super worth it because I got to just relax. The week before, the last week I took off was when I went up to New York. Yeah. And then I worked for like 4 days and then I went on another vacation, which which was when I went up to Orlando to go to Revolution. Which we had a whole episode speaking about Revolution. So go check that out. That was super fun. I got to meet a couple of the wrestlers. And it was really cool. Like meeting the two biggest up and comers was really fucking cool.
I bet.
And I'm talking about Top Flight. Mm-hmm. Dante and Darius Martin. Really cool dudes. I literally was like, yo, I didn't want to seem like a super mark, yeah. And just, you know, like, oh, let's take a picture, because I saw that they were all chilling there, and I just went up to them like, yo, listen, you guys are awesome, like I love what you guys do in the ring. I'm glad that you know Darius was back, because Darius has been out for an entire year pretty much, and he had just come back that week on Dynamite. And I was like, yo, like, you guys are awesome. Like, I love what you guys are doing.
And I'm sorry, while before we continue, and I'm sorry, but like, let's also give a speedy recovery to Big E.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's some sad shit.
That's some sad shit.
Because that was a super botched move, man.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that no ligament damage, no surgery,
yeah,
no spinal cord injury.
But what sucks is that it could possibly be, you know, career-ending type shit, like, because it's very risky, because he basically like he heard a C1 and C4 pretty much injured or whatever,
yeah,
and so, it's bad, but so thankfully, like, no type of surgery or anything. He's already back home pretty much.
Yeah, they released him. Yeah. So I mean, we'll see what happens. Speedy recovery, dude.
For real. But yeah, back to Revolution. Revolution was super fun. It was a really cool pay-per-view. Like I said, go check out the previous episode before this one. And we went in on it. We went ham for like about a good hour and a half.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go check that out.
Because that was one of the most entertaining times of a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It was just so fucking good.
Yeah, it was really good from beginning to end. There were like a couple matches that were like kind of like, okay, I get it. You know, you don't want to overfill the pay-per-view with just like nonstop go. You want to keep people a little bit of breather. And I get it. And it was a good way of setting up the whole pay-per-view. And it was really good. I enjoyed it. Tony Khan is, I give an applause to Tony Khan for being a hell of a fucking booker, dude.
Yeah.
Really fucking good. So I'm excited to see everything that's coming out for AEW. This week's Dynamite was fucking insanely good.
Oh yeah.
The cage match between Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker was great.
That was spectacular. And like, I'm almost positive Aubrey Edwards got tacks in her hand when she slammed for the
cage. Oh yeah, she definitely did. She definitely did. She, I think she posted on Twitter. She had like a few tacks in her hand when she, after she, yeah. It was tough. It was hard. But yo, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do for the sport. Yeah. And it was great. It was really good. Like, that was a
spectacular match. Like
Thunder Rosa, I'm glad that she won.
Yeah, I love the mariachi at the beginning.
Yes.
They were really talented.
Yeah.
And I love that she came out wearing full face makeup. To match.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that was fun.
Full face makeup and also like a mariachi suit as well.
Yeah. And like I told you, you know, she was supporting 316 Day.
Yep.
Look at her ass.
Yep. But it's funny because it was 316 Day and also, you know, the Stone Cold Day, but it's also, you know, it was also the day in it, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was good.
That could have been a pay-per-view match, but I get why they did it for.
Yes, that's what I was telling you. Also, like, I was like, yo, this match should have been on the pay-per-view. It could, like, they could have just skipped on having them two against each other at the pay-per-view. At the pay-per-view, because they both fought against each other with Britt Baker winning because she pretty much had her roadies just fucking fuck with everybody.
Yeah,
they had one of them messing with the ref, the other one messing in the other direction. It was just a shit ton of fucking shit in that one match. But
yeah,
the fact that this was a cage match with no type of interferences was great.
And this actually made me care about the women's division a bit in general.
No, see, I've always enjoyed the women's division because they are actually really good.
No, what I mean was, like, for them on, like, for example, let me pull up a text. When I was watching the show, so was John. He was like, yeah, this company knows how to make you give a fuck about a women's division.
That's completely fair.
Because, like, I can't tell you how many times, I even brought this up to my wife when we were watching it. It's like, I can't tell you how many times that, like, I've been, and I think I even brought it up at the episode before this,
yep.
Where, like, it's not that I'm against the female wrestlers, right? It's I'm against the match that's fucking boring as shit.
Yeah, a lot of time they have been boring for a long period of time.
But this match was not that.
Yeah, it was completely not that.
I was edge of my seat, staring down, going, "Holy shit! Like mm-hmm. this is a match for the ages."
Yeah, yeah. Like in the cage match, one of the spots that like was like, "Holy shit!" They actually did that was the pretty much the pile driver on all the chairs that were like stacked on top of each other.
That was nuts.
Like, that I have not seen in a really fucking long time.
That was some ECW shit. I mean, like, yeah. Real ECW.
Yeah. It's fucking great.
Pre-Vince McMahon ECW.
Yeah, the real ECW.
Yeah.
Straight out of Philly ECW.
Straight out of full-on ECW.
Yeah. Yeah, really fucking good. It was really, really good. Good match for Dynamite. And also, like, I'm super glad that Thunder Rosa finally got hurt. Got her title match.
It's about time that they let somebody else have the title.
Yeah, because Britt Baker's been holding it for a little bit less than a year. Shorter than Sheeta had it previously. Sheeta had it for literally over a year. Because it was like pre-pandemic, just when the pandemic started. And she just pretty much held it until everybody pretty much came back.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, and
that's a while.
Yeah, it was a long while, a good long while. But she was a great champ. She held it down.
Oh yeah, she did.
Yeah, and I'm kind of excited to see how her feud continues with Serena Deebs.
Yes.
Because that Serena Deebs is one of those people that are just like, damn, she's good. She called herself the professor for a reason.
She was so underutilized in WWE.
And who wasn't underutilized over there?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody was underutilized in that company.
Yeah.
If you weren't that guy, if you weren't Triple H, if you weren't The Rock, Stone Cold,
yeah.
Hulk Hogan,
mm-hmm.
you know, like anybody of that caliber, you were underutilized.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm excited to see what that's going to happen, when that's going to happen, because it should be hopefully in the next few weeks. Probably even at Double or Nothing, so I'm excited to see what's going to happen by then.
Same.
One
of the greatest moments with that with Dynamite this week, though, was Jericho.
Oh, yeah. The Jericho Appreciation Society. Fucking hilarious, you know. And that was the perfect shoot at WWE.
2.0 is bad creative.
Yeah. The fact that their name is 2.0, like, you're never going to hear us call them 2.0 over again. It's fucking hilarious, you know.
I did find
it. And then him changing their names to Daddy Magic and what was it? Antonio Parker. Fucking funny as hell. Both of them are fucking Canadians. Like,
mm-hmm.
funny as shit. But it's so good. And then Daniel Garcia actually coming out like, yo, I am a sports entertainer, along with Jericho.
That they're not professional. The Jericho Appreciation Society is not. It's not. They're not pro wrestlers. They're
it's so fucking funny.
That's such a big fuck you to WWE.
Yeah, it really is, and I love it. I love every single minute of it so far.
Keep it going.
Yeah, but what you're gonna see here, though, what I've noticed as soon as they were like, oh yeah, we're gonna be sports entertainers, or even when you see, what's his name, William Regal come to the ring with Moxley and Danielson, you're just like, oh, something's big gonna happen with this, because of course they're trying to sort of recruit some people into their little stable in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And this first match that they had with really, who was it? The Best Friends, Chuck Taylor and Wheeler Yuta against both of them. I was like, this is going to be a really good match. Because of course, you know, they're all phenomenal wrestlers. But who they're really looking forward to or looking to train a little bit is Wheeler Yuta. Because he's another great up and comer, and because he's done so much shit the last few months or whatever that he's been there, he's been absolutely fantastic at what he does.
Oh yeah,
and seeing that at the end of the match, he came back to the ring. I was like, yo, like, what's up? Let's do this. I want to be with you guys. And then to see William Regal just slap him in the face. Just how he did with Monks and Danielson at the pay-per-view. I was like, yes, let's do this.
He like recruited them. He recruited them at the slap.
Yes. I really want to see this, because this is going to lead into somewhere down the line having them against the JAS.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's going to have the professional wrestlers versus the sports entertainers. And I cannot fucking wait for that.
it'll be nice to see like a sort of like a rivalry reunion between Jericho and Regal.
Yes, that's right.
Like the infamous like "How's your tea, Willie?" thing.
Yeah, that's a long fucking time ago.
That was like 99 or 2000.
Yeah, a long fucking time ago. That's what, like 20 years ago, pretty much. Yeah.
It had to have been more like after 2000 because Jericho showed up with the whole Y2J, Y2K thing.
Yeah, but literally, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this. I'm super excited what they're gonna do. They completely period with AEW, and then not only just that, but like ROH. They signed ROH, and then one of the matches I think that they called out this week, something that I've been super fucking excited for, is the Briscoes. The Briscoes have been putting out little like little things on Twitter, just going back and forth with FTR, who used to be in WWE as well. And we finally got a match on the super card that's happening for ROH, or the first pay-per-view back for ROH after their hiatus. Or maybe just a pay-per-view, just whenever it happens or whatever. But that's happening next month. But we don't know what's going to happen after that. But we finally got the first one of the biggest matches that I can see on there that I really, really want to see is basically the Briscoes against the Briscoes, who are actually the ROH champions, against FTR, who are fantastic fucking wrestlers too. A great fucking tag team. Dax and Cash are fucking great wrestlers, dude. They love fucking pro wrestling. They bleed tag teams, dude. It's fucking great. And they got rid of Tully Blanchard as their coach.
Yep.
And they keep kind of hinting at Bret Hart coming back to the AEW. Because he was at AEW like at the beginning of the first you know, one of the first pay-per-views or whatever.
I remember.
But I cannot wait for that to happen. Love me some Bret Hart. So I can't wait to see Bret Hart in the AEW again. So that's enough of me ranting about fucking wrestling. Some other shit that I watched this week. Of course, Sing 2, which we spoke about for a little while. I also got to see The Tinder Swindler, that's on Netflix. And that is a fucked up story about this dude on Tinder that basically takes money from women that he goes out on dates with. And it is a fucking nutso story because he's like, oh, he's all lovey-dovey with this girl or whatever. And then all of a sudden they get close in like a month or so.
Okay.
And then he's like, oh, I've gotten into some shit. He plays off that he's like super rich and shit. He goes on like private jets and stuff and super fancy hotels and shit. And he eventually winds up like fucking people over because the whole gist of it all is that he's taking money from one person, going on a date with another, and then kind of going back and forth. And what sucks is that he can't, they can't really try him in a way. There's no extraditions to fucking get him to go to jail for a while, or even to pay for shit. And it fucking sucks. But this motherfucker's was doing it for a couple years. And it's sad, dude. Cause like, it's fucked up. It's fucked up what he did. Like, it's really bad. So check out the Tinder Swindler on the Netflix. It's another really good semi documentary. Well, no, it's not semi. It's a fucking documentary. It's really good. Check that shit out. Of course, we mentioned Sing 2, another awesome fucking movie that I watched this week or this last couple weeks. Was Bloody Hell. that is not on Netflix or any of the streaming sites, but you're gonna find it online somewhere. I found it on the Cody's. And it is a really, really, really well done thriller that takes you places. It's really fucked up, but it's really good. Really fucking good. You can watch the trailer, but I'd go in cold turkey, just like I did. I went in, I heard about it, I was like, yeah. They were like, yo, don't watch the trailer. Just go in and watch the fucking movie. And I went in, and I enjoyed the fuck out of it. Because it's one of those movies you're just like, I don't want to know anything. I just want to watch it because it's one of those things you expect one thing, and then it totally gives you a totally different, it turns into a totally different movie. And it's done really well. Check that shit out. It's very indie, very good. Another movie that's very indie, but not very good. But it's entertaining anyway. It's Studio 666, but from the Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters, of course, we know are a band that they always put out some outlandish weird ass videos. And this movie falls along the same lines. it has a weird story. Of course, it's not just a weird story, but it's like, oh, like the Foo Fighters, like, oh, we want to put out some music. We got want to go to a place that's gonna help us do this music differently than what we've done before. And it takes them to Studio 666, which is a studio that of course, it's a fictional studio, but it's a hotel that basically, or a house that at one point there was a huge murder that happened there, and crazy shit ensues when they're there. A lot of murder, a lot of death, a lot of fun shit. It's a fun movie. Like I said, it's not the best, but. Do you really expect like a really good movie from like musicians?
Right.
Yeah. And this is written pretty much by Dave Grohl and his peoples, but like I said, it is a fun movie. It is definitely worth watching. So check it out. That at the moment I believe it is on Prime Cinema. So if you want to watch it on there, you can, or you can just wait and watch it on Cody. Or you can just watch it on Cody. Because why the fuck not, right? And I think that pretty much wraps it up for the shit that I've been watching. So, I guess it's time to get into some fucking geek shit. Because we got a decent amount of geek shit for this week. And I guess the first thing that we can start with, we just briefly mentioned Ryan Reynolds and Sean Levy. We saw them both, or we saw Ryan Reynolds in Sean Levy shit in the Adam Project. Yes, we saw him in the Adam Project. And we just got news this week that they are both working on Deadpool 3, which we've been super fucking excited for. We've been trying to see when is this happening. What's going to come out of this? When are they actually going to do it? Is it going to happen? Is this actually going to be a Disney movie? Is there? Are they going to make it work? Are they going to put it on under Disney? Because of course it is a super rated R movie. And then with the fact that they're starting to put things in the rated mature section of Disney Plus, we're like, wait, this would be the perfect place for all the Deadpool shit. So, yes, please. And knowing that we have Ryan Reynolds doing something that's really good, done by Sean Levy, I'm like, yes, we need to have this now. And it's happening. They will be putting together Deadpool 3 for Marvel. And I am super fucking excited for it. Can't fucking wait. I've been waiting. We've been waiting for too damn long. Yeah, needs to happen.
It's already been a couple of years since part 2.
I know, it feels like way longer, though.
It does.
It feels like way fucking longer. But yes, I am excited to see this. I really want this to happen. It needs to happen very, very soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, we got to wait a little bit, but that's fine. We've waited this long. Might as well just wait a little bit longer.
I mean, he might be in Doctor Strange.
We don't right, know yeah. That. Yeah, like we've mentioned a couple weeks ago. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll
see.
Yeah. There's some other shit that came out on the internet. Something that's super fucking exciting because it came out actually today, and I'm like, cannot fucking wait for this shit. We all love Christopher Lloyd. Mm-hmm. We all love The Mandalorian, and we just got news that Christopher Lloyd got casted in season 3 of The Mandalorian. Yes, fucking please, dude. I am super fucking excited for this. I love Christopher Lloyd. Love the fucking Mandalorian. They've been doing such an amazing job with this show. I am super excited to see what they're going to do with season 3. And I want to see where it goes. I want to see what they're going to do with it and what he's going to basically be playing in this show. Because he's old as fuck now. He's what, in his 70s?
At least.
Yeah. And it's fucking great. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with him. What they're going to do with this.
Like, I mean, considering he was like one of the best parts of the movie, Nobody.
Yes, that's right. I forget about that.
He had like a bit of a career resurgence there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm super excited to see when this is coming out. Of course, it doesn't start. This won't come out anytime soon. They don't have like a set release date for season 3. Do they? No, they don't. They don't have a set release date for season 3. Because, of course, you know, we're getting Obi in like another 2 months. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm excited see what they're going to do with Christopher Lloyd. Because I fucking love Christopher Lloyd. Loved him since I was a youth. Mm-hmm. Back in the day in the DeLoreans and stuff. Oh, Back to the Future. How I missed it. And then I guess jumping back into the Marvel stuff, we briefly spoke about all the Disney shows, all the Netflix shows are now on Disney, and the next when I'm talking about Netflix, I'm talking about the Netflix Marvel shows, which they're no longer Marvel shit or Netflix shit.
Netflix.
No longer Netflix. Netflix, fuck you, get the fuck out of here. And of course, Disney's like, fuck you, I paid all this money for it, I'm gonna keep it. And we got news. Well, something that we already knew was happening, but now they've pretty much made it official that there is going to be a Deadpool, not Deadpool, Daredevil reboot coming to the MCU on Disney Plus with Charlie Cox. That's super fucking exciting.
And I really hope they're bringing back every other actor from that show.
Yes, please. Yes, fucking please, dude.
I can't call other actor Foggy or actress Karen after
watching
them play the parts in so many episodes.
Yes. Because I'll say it again. Like I've always had this big ass crush on fucking Deborah Ann Woll, mm-hmm. and she was fucking great in Daredevil. Like. She was really fucking good. And I was rewatching the first episode of Daredevil. And I was like, holy shit, she's so fucking good, dude. Mm-hmm. She's fucking bawling crying in the first episode. I'm like, yes, we need to see more of this, dude. Not necessarily her crying, but her being a complete badass in the show. I fucking love it. I fucking love this. I cannot wait to see Matt Murdock in the MCU again. Granted, we got a glimpse of him in No Way Home, but I really want to see more. I want more. Call me greedy, but I want more.
But the fact that, me too, but the fact that we actually have our favorite actor as Daredevil back.
Yes.
That Kevin Feige flat out said Charlie Cox is our Daredevil.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, that works.
Yeah, absolutely. It is fucking great. I'm excited for it, dude.
Oh, hell yeah, me too.
Cannot fucking wait. I need this now. Granted, it won't happen now. Because I got so much other shit to do on there. But it's going to happen. It's going to fucking happen. Then some other things. Something that's very, very interesting because, of course, One Piece has like a bazillion fucking episodes that I technically have not watched, not even just one. But we all know somebody that is a part of our team is a huge fan of One Piece. Mm-hmm. Talk about Mario. Mario's a huge fan of One Piece. And main reason why I didn't watch it because there's, like I said, a bazillion fucking episodes to watch. Kind of like the way Dragon Ball Z was in the beginning. But this is with boats and ships and shit in the waters. And I don't know. It's just not for me. But like, I am willing to see what they're going to do with the live action One Piece. Because, of course, I'll be starting from the very beginning. And I won't have to just sit and wait and wait and wait and wait. But we got a news on the castings, and that's going to be pretty cool. The only person that I think I know is Emily Rudd, that's in from Fear Street. She's in this. One of those from Pacific Rim Uprising is in it, which that was a pretty fun movie. There's this kid from Go Youth, who I don't know who he is, but he's gonna play Monkey D. Luffy, who's the main character, which is gonna be pretty cool. I'm guessing he's somewhat good. Also, don't expect him to be a shit ass character if he's that, you know, gonna be cast as the main character in the show. So it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with the Netflix live action version of One Piece, because of course, you know, Netflix knows what they're doing, but when it comes to live action anime stuff, they haven't had the best record so far. Right. They did what was it, Death Note? That was not that good. Granted, I get it. It was a retelling of it in a way, not necessarily the exact duplicate of the original. But then there was also Cowboy Bebop, that in my opinion was actually pretty damn good.
I don't agree that it should have been canceled. I think they should try to fight and have it come back somewhere.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you on that. Like, they should try to do something to actually put it out, because I want to see more of that, because the cast was great. The story was pretty damn good, because of course you got the original story, but what I'm guessing the reason that they canceled is because there was only one original series of it. There was only one season of it. And this season right now pretty much goes over, I'm about to say like 95% of it, 85% at the most, at the least. So I get it, but I, like I said, I would want to see more. And then jumping over to the other end of the streaming world, we are fans of the Harley Quinn show on the Disney, on the what was it, the HBOs or whatever, or the DC universe that was once upon a time. We are fan of the Harley Quinn show, and one of the characters that I really did enjoy was Kite Man. Kite Man is one of those weird-ass characters, very obscure villains in the DC universe. But the fact that they made him kind of likable on this show, I was like, this is interesting. And we recently got word that they're working on something with him, as far as, you know, developing another spinoff with him. That should be cool. Because we kind of want to see not necessarily where he went wrong, but where he came from.
Right.
You know, What made him such a bad guy? Or is he really a bad guy? So, I kind of want to see what they're going to do with that. I'm excited for it. Also, like, what other villains would they be throwing into this? Are they just going to do him? Because, they, of course, he is a very obscure villain. Are they going to throw other obscure villains in this? So that's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited what they're going to do with that. Then something else that came out this week. Another DC Vertigo show. We got the first trailer for. And this looks pretty fucking good.
It really does.
And what I'm talking about is DMZ. For those that don't know, it is a comic that came out, I'm going to say about 10, 15 years ago. Am I right?
See, this is new to me. I'm not familiar with the...
Okay. Well, this is a pretty good comic. It's kind of post-apocalyptic, and you got to see that in the trailer. The world's pretty much gone to shit, and just trying to find a place to actually be. And it's really good. It's a really fun series, so go check that out. I don't want to give too much away because, of course, you know, you don't want to spoil the whole story. But this trailer for the show looks really damn good. And it has Rosario Dawson, who we've seen pretty much everywhere so far. She's been on the Marvel side. She's been in the Disney side. She's been in the kids side. She's been everywhere. She's fucking great.
She has been everywhere.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with her, how she's going to do in the show. But one thing that I did kind of see, because of course, you know, a lot of the critics just like to talk shit. They were pretty much saying that it doesn't really give you the gravitas of, you know, of being an apocalyptic type show. Mm. Yeah. So, but whatever. I still want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I still want to check it out. I still want to see what's going on with it and, you know, where the story goes. So it should be cool. It should be out in the next couple of weeks. So check out DMZ. And then the final piece of the puzzle for this week. Something that was really fucking cool that I super fucking enjoyed when I saw this. I was like so fucking excited. And that we got the first full trailer for Ms. Marvel coming to Disney Plus in the next couple weeks. And this looks fucking fun. I'm super excited to see what they're going to do with Kamala Khan on the TV screens, on the silver screen. It looks fucking dope. Especially knowing that she will somehow be part of the Marvels, which is Captain Marvel 2 pretty much in the next few months.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked on this. Been watching a lot of videos talking about what could be or what will happen with shit like that. And from what I've been seeing a lot of is that there's a possibility that not necessarily one of the villains, but one of the next young Avengers is in this, other than her, could actually be Hulkling. Who we have not seen anything from ever yet on the TV, on any of the shows yet, or any of the MCU stuff. But that should be super interesting. Also, the fact that, like, they kind of retconned the way that she turns into a superhero in this. She's not basically, like, transformed with the mist or whatever, like she was in the comics. From what it looks like, she gets, like these bracelets similar to the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
From Shang-Chi. And what they're pretty much saying is that these Ten Rings could have possibly been on Earth for a very long time. And she winds up acquiring them, and she is somewhat... So it kind of triggers her whatever from like a bazillion years ago. She's somehow tied into those people in a way that it kind of gives her powers. So it's very interesting to see what they're going to do with it. I want to see how they explain certain things, because she is also, if you look at the trailer, you get to see that she's also rocking the Crawl Miss Marvel suit or Captain Marvel suit.
Yeah,
so some possibilities of that happening could be fucking cool. I'm really excited for it. Cannot wait for Miss Marvel. Super excited. What do you think? What did you think?
I'm excited for it.
It's really cool. It's something totally different. It has a totally different feel than what we've seen from the other Marvel shows.
And the fact that they actually brought in like a Muslim character into live action.
Yes.
You know, like they actually, there was that one clip in the trailer where they're praying, and I'm like, see, but this is how it should be, because there are other religions than just, you know,
yeah,
Catholicism and Catholic, you know, and Christianity. Like,
yep,
this exists.
So yeah, exactly.
Like, it's about time you actually did something for the people that aren't white.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
And they and right and the actress, they didn't just like
they didn't just pigeonhole anybody into it.
It's someone who's actually like I forget what
nationality. It's Pakistani.
She's Pakistani. But you know what I mean? It's like good. They actually like gave the character a true actress behind, you know, the part, and they didn't just whitewash everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, yep. I'm excited. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah,
I'm hopeful for this because this looks fun. This looks Hawkeye fun.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
You know, it's a big difference in like the darker stuff that we've seen and that we're gonna see with Moon Knight in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So
it looks really fucking cool.
It's gonna be nice to see something lighter.
Yeah, especially after Moon Knight.
And especially from like the eyes of a kid.
Yeah.
She's like, all of a sudden I'm a superhero. What do I do?
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
Because like, it seems like they're kind of doing something like they did with the game. Where like, mm-hmm. in the game, she goes to this like event, like this big meet and greet, like carnival thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, not carnival, but like this big fair. And like eventually she meets all the Avengers. And then and then the mist happens and she becomes, you know, who she became. And right. Like, but it's more so like the way that she is so excited because she's such a nerd for the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is great that you're seeing it through the eyes of a teen.
Mm-hmm.
Now she went from wanting to be one to now being one.
Yeah.
You know, but like in a sense of almost like with Spider-Man, it's like, I'm a superhero now. What do I do?
Yeah. She literally is like the modern version of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't know because a lot of people haven't read the comic. And it's really damn good.
And she's relatively new too, right?
She's only been out pretty much since I've been over here. I think the first issue came out in like, I'm going to say like 2005, 2006.
I was going to say, yeah.
So it is fairly new, and it's actually really damn good. I've read the first few. I'm going to say the first trade.
Okay.
It's really good. It's really well written. It also shows like a different side of not everybody being in New York, because mm-hmm. it takes place in Jersey for the most part.
Right. It takes place in the armpit of America.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. but it's fun. It's a really good read. So check that out and be excited for Ms. Marvel. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a really good watch. Or hopefully it can be a good watch. But, again, you know, we can't really say that they've pretty much
all these shows
struck out with them yet.
Yeah, all these shows have been really good so far.
Yeah. They've all been completely different too, so.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And they kind of go light and dark, light and dark.
Yeah, they really do. They yeah. really do.
But even like some of the light has dark in it, some of the dark has light in it. So
it's yeah, kind of yeah. It balances out. It's a good balance. Yeah. But it's good. It's definitely a good balance. I love what they've been doing.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I'm excited to see more. Yeah. That pretty much wraps it up this week, I think, right? You got anything else to add, Brian?
Well, we should talk a little bit about Batman.
Oh, yes, that's right. We were holding off on that.
We were holding off.
Yes, yes.
We almost waited another week.
Yes, we almost waited another fucking week. Yeah. So
spoiler alert, if you guys have not
seen now that, we are doing spoilers. Two weeks later.
Yes. So spoiler alert, if you guys haven't seen the movie yet, this would be where we say goodnight to you. Good day.
Yes. Yes.
And I said good day, you know.
I said good day.
But the Batman.
Yes.
I went to that movie walking in, knowing I wanted to see it, walking out going, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
If this is not one of the best fucking comic, forget about Batman, if this wasn't one of the best comic book adaptations.
Yeah.
It was a 3-hour detective comic graphic novel.
Yep.
For the first time in all our Batman movies, Batman in his costume at the crime scene playing fucking detective.
Yep.
Like, we've seen Bruce Wayne do it. We've seen Batman in the cave do it.
Yep.
But never in the field.
Never, exactly. Never on the field.
Never in the active crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that are like, oh, Robert Pattinson's Batman, stop hating.
Yeah.
Because he even regrets making Twilight. He just got a paycheck and he was happy with
having He was still young at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's made better movies since that.
Just absolutely.
Watch Good Time.
Yeah.
And that's actually the reason why.
Matt or even just watch Tenet.
Tenet was fantastic.
Yeah.
Devil All the Time.
Yep.
But point is, Robert Pattinson was a terrific Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Yep.
And it's hard to say, oh, but, you know, like, if you guys have seen it, and it's like, oh, but he wasn't really Bruce Wayne for long. That's the point.
Yeah.
The movie's not called The Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, exactly. It's called The Batman.
Especially This is year two.
Yep.
This is his second year wearing this fucking outfit
and
just pummeling down
kicking thugs. Ass.
And like, I love that that opening scene where everybody was just like, is he gonna come out of where? And I know it made me feel it. I'm sure it made you feel it and Renee feel it. But like, when the guy's like spray painting and you see the shadow, I was like, is he coming from there?
Yep.
Or when you see, what was it, the dude in the drop head mask and robbing the store, is he coming from there?
Yep.
And they tease it like 3 times and finally, like, it's the train. And then I knew he was coming there because we all know the scene from the teaser trailer in
2020. Oh, yeah, of course.
And like, the fact that he did not give a fuck and just pummeled every single one of them.
No questions asked.
No questions asked. And like, I'm pretty positive those things on his wrist, those like spikes, like the silver things on his gloves.
On the gauntlets?
On the gauntlets were like coils for electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it seemed like. Because I'm trying to figure out for the longest time, like, why is he having these things on his arms? And then when he did the shock glove to the one guy, I'm like, oh, that's electrical current.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like a taser on his fist.
Yeah, and it makes sense because in the Arkham Origins game for Xbox 360,
that's what he has.
He eventually obtains the shock gloves from the electrocutioner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which I'm still pissed that you didn't get to fight. The Rogues Gallery kills him, and then you obtain the gloves.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. That's fine. Yeah. I'll deal with it.
But then you get to use them and just pummel thugs throughout Gotham later. But with that movie, he was a fucking animal in that outfit.
He really was.
he is vengeance.
And, yeah.
And I like that he just, he didn't. Rah, rah, rah,
rah, yeah, he just lowered his voice just a little bit.
He lowered and went a little gruff to be different than Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
He didn't, he wasn't a try hard.
No.
Which is what I loved. I love the fact that he wasn't trying too hard to just be different than one another.
One of my favorite things in that is that when, so Andy Serkis was great as Alfred.
Yep.
You know? So Andy Serkis was great as Alfred, and like, I liked that when he's at Wayne Manor and he sees Alfred solving the cipher, he has to put sunglasses on because he's so used to being in the dark.
Yeah. I completely forgot about that scene.
Another cool thing too is like, so I've been watching like every single person's breakdown from new rock stars to heavy spoilers.
Okay.
And like the fact that Batman at the time was not the world's greatest detective. He still sucked at it.
Uh-huh.
And that if you would have noticed, so this is something I didn't catch, and I'm gonna show a point, I'll catch it every other time now that I know the clip.
Mm-hmm.
But any time that they showed the Iceberg Lounge, if you look up, you can see Nashton taking photos.
Ooh.
It's like very small in the top corner of your screen.
Okay.
But you see his apartment because right they look and like, oh, like this is where he got the photos. Yeah. If they would have noticed the angle of the picture.
Yeah.
If Batman was that good, he could have looked up and be like, oh.
Right. Yeah. But they wasn't. I don't think he noticed that. Yeah.
And the movie would have only been like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But everything about it was fantastic. I think.
Absolutely.
Paul Dano as the Riddler was fucking amazing.
It was very creepy, too.
He had a very... Well, it was based off of Zodiac.
Yeah, no, I know.
Which is one of my favorite serial killer stories. And
I love the
movie from, what's it, 2008?
From a long time ago.
Yeah. with
the Hulk.
And Iron Man and the Hulk.
Yeah.
So... That was fantastic. And I even pointed it out in when I reviewed the figure a couple of weeks ago. Like, I'm like, I thought it was like an ice pick. I did not know it was a carpet tuck.
Yep.
And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, what an obscure device to bludgeon people with. Unbelievable. And then... Oh man, Zoe Kravitz as Selina and Catwoman, like both excellent. And then I forgot John Turturro was in this movie as fucking Carmine Falcone.
He was awesome.
He was amazing in that. But then again, what movie isn't he good in?
You know? Pretty much.
So then, who else was fucking Colin Farrell as Cobblepot? Did you catch
that? He was really good at that.
When they tied him up, him and Gordon, and like they drove away, like he's still zip tied, so he was waddling sort of like a penguin.
So good.
And then come on, we gotta give it up for Peebles.
Yeah, Peebles was awesome, dude.
Jeffrey Wright as Jim Peebles Gordon, man. What? It's almost like he was watching us.
Yeah, he really was.
Get it?
Yeah. Watcher. I get it.
But yeah, Jeffrey Wright was whenever he's just a fantastic actor.
He really is. He's fucking great, dude.
He really played like, I mean, because Jim Gordon, you know, especially because Jim Gordon is always the older white detective,
mm-hmm.
and then later the white, you know, older white commissioner.
Yep.
But like. Considering we're in a society now where race shouldn't matter, even though to some people it does. To me, I walked in going, holy shit, that's Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
The chemistry between them. I like he's like, you don't trust me because you don't tell me who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, and also like one of the best scenes in that movie was after Jim Gordon said, "Punch me."
Yeah. And he caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that one. Yeah.
And then like he ran up to the roof to escape. But you see, he's sort of petrified to jump off the rooftop.
Yeah.
Because he puts on the... I was like, all right, well, like, how are they going to do the wings, you know? Because we've seen 89 Batman had the bars in his cape.
Yep.
I could give a shit about Clooney and Kilmer.
Uh-huh.
Christian Bale had the static magnet, yeah, you know, thing, which was a cool feature for the time. Yeah. But like,
for sure, at the time it was.
But this dude literally had a flight suit.
Yep. Love it.
Like, it, I think it came on, was that the pouch on his hip?
Yep.
Yeah. Right? Just like,
fucking somehow, great.
Like, quickly put it on and like, petrified and just jumped and sailed and then like, didn't time the landing right, so he got fucking clocked by like the bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like he had to walk it off like really fucking hurting. I'm like, oh, uh-huh, man.
Yep.
But, the batarang in his chest was a fantastic idea.
Absolutely, dude.
To just be like, oh, here's my utility tool.
Yeah, either that and the fucking the grappling hook that he had in his hand.
Dude, like it's almost like Taxi Driver. We had you talking to me.
Uh-huh. Yep. I fucking loved it, dude.
Oh, man.
Every little fucking bit of it, it was like fucking fantastic, dude.
And just when we thought the movie was gonna end, when Nashin was caught. And he's yelling out, Bruce Wayne, Bruce Wayne, Bruce Wayne.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, how do you know who I am?
Yeah.
And he's like, we almost got him, the one that got away.
Yep.
And like you see like the sigh of relief, sort of. And like,
and there's more.
And there's more. And then there's that one final riddle, and that one cop happened to have an uncle who like installed carpet. And then it's like, oh, that's a carpet tuck. And then Batman, like, takes the evidence out of the bag and, like, rips up the rug. And there's a whole fucking master plan that was so, like, Batman is not that good a detective. He didn't know that this was a thing yet.
Yeah.
And it's too late. And you got the whole fucking the city flooding.
Yep. So good.
Even earlier in the film, how about when Batman tried to help Gil Coulson and, like, you actually see dude explode.
Yep.
I was like, holy shit.
Yep. They're still trying to save him. He's like, yo, like I can't really save you, dude.
And like, I love how armor plated Batman was, that he's like getting shot to shit when like going into Carmine's club and like
it just
didn't faze him. Just fucking
whooped the ass. Take it all. I'll take all the shots.
There's so much to go over. I say when the movie hits it on HBO, we do like an episode just dedicated to it.
I am down for that shit, dude.
We do like a
actually sit and take notes and shit.
Yeah, because there's like so much. Because I told you like off air multiple times, like when that movie comes out to HBO, I'm watching that like almost every day.
Oh yeah, for sure. And plus not only just that, but like I definitely need to rewatch it because I wanted to rewatch it, but like I really don't feel like spending another few bucks to go watch it sitting in the theater for 3 hours for it.
And like I mean I've looked on Kodi and it's like a decent cam, but I'm like it's a little shaky and I'd rather,
I'm good. I'll wait.
If I'm gonna watch a 3 hour film, I want it to be like clear.
Right.
You know, so like I'll wait.
They haven't gotten it as good as they did with No Way Home yet.
Not yet, no.
Because they had that pretty good after talking about like a month or so.
Yeah. I mean, so this movie will come out to HBO in like a month from...
A month from tomorrow.
A month from tomorrow. So Saturday the 19th will be a month... Wait a month from there. And then you got the Batman. And what a ride.
Oh, yeah. It's a great ride.
From start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did enjoy the homage to John Carpenter.
Yep.
In the beginning with the stalking.
Yeah.
Because that was a whole like the shape.
Yep, it was great.
And then the fact that like his Riddler's outfit was just basically Army Navy shit.
I love
going
it.
Going to the
surplus. It was simple. Stores. It was simple.
Simple. And yeah. Like,
and like even Selina Kyle. Selina Kyle, she doesn't have the full like Catwoman suit yet. She literally has a fucking ski mask on.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
One cool thing that I saw online is that his Riddler's glasses are very similar, if not the same, as Jim Carrey's in
Beginning of Batman
Forever.
Okay.
And then the other thing too was that if you go really like high depth detail of this film, and whenever Nashton was doing his live streams, and you got people commenting, they're talking about like, what about you're gonna do this big thing on this day, and it's Flood Day, and like,
okay,
and talking about, oh, you can get this outfit at the surplus store. It's a winter, the winter mask and all that shit. And so,
that's good. Yeah,
let's do a full breakdown when it drops.
Hell yeah, dude. Another bonus round.
Yeah. The Batman.
Hell yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, I definitely need to rewatch it because I have it, like, it's been a little while already. And, like, some parts are a complete daze to me.
Yeah. Like, because it's that initial, like, you know, that holy shit moment.
Yeah.
Because No Way Home was that way for me, even though. Mm-hmm. Even though a lot of No Way Home got spoiled for me, luckily
I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
I know. It was other people. But with the Batman, I was able to stay spoiler free.
Yep.
Which is great because I've been waiting for this movie since.
No, just that, but like we waited until pretty much day of or the day after.
Yeah, from the day we saw that first teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was. Not even living in this house yet. I was still in the old apartment when that fucking the trailer dropped.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So.
Yeah. Really good shit.
Yeah. Definitely really good. So definitely watch The Batman when it comes out. Or if you want to go to the theater, go see the movie in theaters.
Absolutely, dude. Check it out. Go watch it. It's fucking dope.
Yeah, so like, definitely worth it. And that's all I got on the Batman.
And I guess that pretty much wraps it up for the week. Wraps it up for this week. So, go check out all the stuffs on InnerCityGeeks.net. We got, of course, we got this stuff. We got, Brian 2J Presents. We got, Manga Time Anime World. What was the other one?
We got
Manga Time Anime World.
Fucking
all the Mario stuff. All the Mario stuff.
Yeah, the Mario section.
Yeah. So make sure you guys go check out all the shit on InnerCityGeeks. Go check all that shit out. Also, we got links to some cool ass places. Check out the profile. We got a bunch of shit there. We got shit for Sideshow Collectibles, got pretty cool shit over there. We also got Fight TV, check out some pretty cool fucking wrestling shit over there. A lot of cool free shit. Also a lot of cool shit that you can actually pay for. A lot of cool shit coming soon. Got some GCW stuff coming. What is it? Rebellion from Impact Wrestling in the next few weeks. Check all that out. Then, you can find the link to Amazon. Of course, we all like Amazon Primes for free. So check all that shit out. Especially now that The Boys is coming out soon. And then we also have Boys Diabolical up there too. So you can watch that. It's really fucking fun.
That's one of the other things I watched this week.
Yeah.
Such a great,
It's really fucking good. So check that shit out. And then, what else? Got places. Got a link to SoulSick Clothing Company. Check that out. Of course, we all like some pretty cool clothings and stuff from 4 Geeks by Geeks. Check all that out. And then there's at that point you type in InnerCity Geeks for 15% off. That's SoulSick Clothing. It's a S O ESIC clothing.co. Like I said, 50% off. Then at that point, you got all that shit. Then there's also Beard Oxygen. Get some pretty cool beardy shits. Type in ICD-10 for 10% off over there for some beard balms, oils, butters, all the cool shit you need for your beard. So check that shit out. And CBDMD. Get some pretty cool CBD shit. And, yeah. Those are all the pretty cool places. You can find us on... Find the show on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. Check that out. Then there's also... You can find us on the socials. You can find us on the Facey Space. So faceyspace.com/InterCityGeeks. On Instagram, InterCityGeeks. Twitter, InterCityGeeks. We'll go find you, Brian.
You can find me reading these comments and getting really pissed off. But anyway, you can find me on all the socials, too. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bright2JPresents. And you could, of course, go to Bright2JPresents.com, where there's links to all my stuff. Lots of videos and whatnot. Go to Bright2JPresents on YouTube. Check out some action figure videos. I got stuff on the way. You can, of course, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. And, where can we find you?
Find me on the Twitters and the Instagram at Mr. Jackal, MISTERJACKAL. And that pretty much wraps it the fuck up for this week. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for checking us out. We appreciate you guys. I usually end the show saying don't be a geek. Don't be a dick. But got to end it with a little bit of sad note. But bad times don't last. But bad guys do.